friends. You're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. I'm delighted to welcome and Alison Metcalf, who is head of North America at Tourism Ireland, where she has responsibility for leading Tourism Ireland's marketing strategy and operations, not only for the US and Canada, but also Australia, New Zealand. But we are delighted to welcome you, Alison, again, and very Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Adrian, and all the listeners out there. Always great to be back.
I want to ask you, perhaps start by doing a recap on 2022 and how close did that get to expectations for the year that was in it?
Yes, well, I guess right off the top, 2022 ended up being a much stronger year, I think, than we had originally anticipated. If we look at the sort of the outturn for the year end, we'll end up from the United States getting back to about 80% of our 2019 visitor numbers. So we're very happy with that. At the beginning of the year, we were sort of forecasting around two-thirds of 2019, and obviously the U.S. didn't lift its pre-testing requirements until April or May. So the recovery last year was all about restart from Tourism Ireland's perspective, and so we're very happy with that result. The recovery was much stronger and faster. The demand, there's a lot of pent-up demand, and people really wanted to get traveling to Ireland and indeed to Europe as a whole from the U.S. So a good result. And that result was driven, I think, to a large extent by the very quick restoration of the air access. We saw significant airlift last year. We also saw some very keen pricing, and we worked very closely with all of the airlines serving Ireland to make sure that there were some very attractive fares out there. And, of course, Tourism Ireland invested significantly in that restart effort last year. And that restart phase is really the first phase of our recovery strategy to get business back to 2019 levels. So I think we're moving from a position of relative strength going into 2023, but obviously we may have other challenges. But at this point in time, it looks as though the momentum as we start our marketing program for 23 is fairly positive.
And of course, you have now a new headquarters office on the West Coast, which is exciting. I'm sure very much so for those, on the West Coast in particular.
Absolutely. I think that was one of the, it was a key strategic development for us, particularly last year. We had been on the radar for a couple of years, and then obviously with COVID. So we did expand our footprint in the U.S. and was delighted to open a West Coast office in San Francisco. Tourism Ireland is housed in the new Ireland House out there, so we're in the same facility as the consulate and Enterprise Island there as well. But I think one reason for doing that, I mean, as you know, Adrian, the U.S. is a huge market for us, and pre-COVID we had 1.7 million visitors spending about 1.6 billion euro. It's the number one market by revenue. And it's the number one market for holiday makers so this is people when they travel to the island of Ireland are there for pure holiday reasons, not necessarily just visiting friends and relatives. So a really, really important market. Visitors stay a long time and they spend money. And we were seeing significant growth coming from the West Coast and southern states. So we want to be in a position to really capitalize on some of those new opportunities by having, physical presence there. So we have expanded our marketing footprint. And of course, we've seen a significant increase in direct air access from Seattle, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, from Aer Lingus. So we're very excited about that. And as we rebuild now, into 2023 and look to refocus our efforts on driving revenue, I suppose, and sustainable growth into the future. The West Coast team led by Barbara Wood out there are going to play a very important part in that, in developing new business and looking for new opportunities to grow business to the island of Ireland.
You know, the sometimes we forget there is a staggering figure in terms of employment, vital jobs in communities across the entire Ireland, island of Ireland, you know, in the sense that this, you know, Tourism Ireland is in fact a major employer. And whereas, you know, COVID and the pandemic affected the entire world, it was no more, no less, in terms of affecting employment in Ireland. So that also, when you're talking about 80% this last year of the 2019 record figures of all time, that also is great news with respect to the employment and in fact the healthy conditions in terms of finance in Ireland. I think sometimes we lose track of that and the significance of it.
Absolutely, as you rightly said. I mean, pre-COVID, tourism is the largest indigenous employer on the island, the sector. North and South, it employed around over 300,000 jobs. But I think what COVID did do is it actually put a spotlight on the importance of tourism to the economy. As we said before, the impact of visitors on around the island of Ireland, it touches every town and small town and village and community. And for every euro that is spent in accommodation, hotels and bed and breakfast, another 2 euro is spent in the community. So again, that ripple effect, the spending in restaurants, attractions, bars, cafes, retail. So without tourism, I think it's always been well recognized as a really important sector in Ireland. But I think there are some businesses and some people perhaps that did not necessarily realize the true impact of the sector. So that, I suppose, has been a positive thing. But as we build back, I think what we want to sort of continue to highlight is the economic impact, which is absolutely, you know, vital, and that directly translates into jobs. We want to make sure that as tourism comes back, that it also has a very positive environmental and community impact. So sustainability, you know, and delivering sustainable growth as we move forward is a primary interest for Tourism Ireland, and it underpins our strategy going forward. So, and I think visitors nowadays, I mean, people want to they want to have meaningful trips. They want to feel that their visitation and their spend in countries and is having a positive impact. And so that community, that social impact, as well as environmental and economic impact, is those three pillars there are important as we build back tourism to sort of that 2020 sort of 19 revenue levels. And as a result of that, we're focusing more on the revenue than we are on volume to make sure that we can deliver upon those goals.
Well, you know, so many of us over during that period of the pandemic, so many of us were longing, you know, for the opportunity to get everything back to normal. And as we saw, worldwide, but particularly on both sides of the Atlantic, everybody and his mother was trying to figure out and establish what the new normal is. And that's a question that won't be answered, I think, for, you know, some time to come. But let me ask you on a couple of areas. Is there a change in the trend of what people actually want to do when they get to Ireland? And again, pressing the green button, you know, on Ireland.com is indeed indicative of the huge variety. Everything you want to know about Ireland, or indeed, Alison, you know, the amazing choice of activities and suggestions that might be, great and very meaningful. But is there a trend Like, is there a top 10? Is there a, how does that work?
Well, I think that, I mean, it's there's some broad trends there. I'm not sure there's a top 10 thing, but what we do know from our research, is that obviously, because of COVID, I think people have now prioritized travel within their lives to a much greater degree. And even with, you know, obviously as we head into 2023, there are some economic pressures out there for some people. Our research, and we do track consumer sentiment, shows that people are prioritizing travel over other items of expenditure. In terms of what they want to do and what the new normal might look like, certainly what we're seeing from the US is that travelers are willing to spend a bit more and stay a bit longer, and I think that's as a result of having missed out on travel for a couple of years, and they're certainly keen to make up for that. But essentially, the key motivators for Americans remain broadly the same in terms of they want to, I mean, it's our history, it's our heritage, that's the outstanding landscape, and they want to engage with culture, and be that music, be that theater, be that the arts, and they want to meet the local people, and it's really the people that will obviously bring all of that together. They're looking to explore the great outdoors, and certainly that was a growing trend before COVID, and we've certainly seen an increase in interest there. So whether it's the desire to go out hiking or cycling or fishing or horseback riding, golf was always obviously in high demand, and that's significant pent-up demand there. So the great outdoors is something that which is of great interest, obviously, to Americans. But again, they want those local immersive experiences. So they want to engage with locals. They want to maybe learn something. They want to sort of connect with both the people and the landscape. And they want to lean into some of their interests and passion points. The things coming through, I think people are interested in food. So some of the great food tours, you can visit take a food tour, go foraging, go visit producers, great outdoors, musical tours. But ultimately what people are looking for is to really connect with the landscape and our rich heritage. So those key motivators haven't changed. But the way people travel and how much they're willing to spend and how long they're willing to stay, that's changed a little bit. Again, people want to, they're looking for custom experiences, willing to stay a bit longer, spend a bit more, really make it a meaningful trip. And I think that's, that hasn't changed to a certain extent. But I mean, I think because we have been living without travel for the last 2 or 3 years, for some people, they didn't travel last year because the requirement to pre-test to come back to the US was still an impediment at the beginning of the year. So, Ireland offers a great variety of options. So I think for family vacations, for multi-generational trips, lots to do, the great outdoors, great landscape. And we have a great, variety of super accommodations. So everything from our castle hotels to the smaller, more independent manor houses and country inns, to the bed and breakfast, to house rentals and apartment rentals. I mean, certainly that private rental market has certainly expanded over the last last year or so.
And when you have Game of Thrones and a half a dozen others, the interest level when people go to Ireland and become immersed in the interest that we see of people wanting to go and see, my God, that has expanded to the point where there are, Ireland is way, way ahead in terms of film and television shows, series. That has to have had a tremendous effect as well.
Oh, a massive impact. I mean, I think if we look back at, the biggest show on the small screen being obviously Game of Thrones, that has had a significant impact in putting sort of Northern Ireland particularly on the map. Look at the Banshees of Inisherin with Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell, the Golden Globes. I mean, again, putting, just the way the west of Ireland, Inishmore and Achill Island. I mean, the rugged west coast scenery is to the fore in that movie. That again, I mean, is a key motivator. And we know from our research that, you know, movie locations, do inspire people to visit a destination. And of course we had Star Wars before that. And there's many, many, other movies and TV series, being filmed now. We've obviously had, Disenchanted and Disney. So it's a big part of the travel and tourism space. And the tourism island, we try and, you know, leverage those opportunities. Other, you know, things coming down the track. I mean, we've talked about Titanic before. Titanic Belfast is an iconic attraction, obviously. In Belfast, really, that opened 10 years ago. That's closed at the moment, for the, reopens on March the 3rd. They're investing significant, dollars into, reimagining some of their galleries, and there'll be, never before an artifacts on display. We have the new international rugby experience, a major visitor attraction opening in Limerick, €30 million of investment there. And of course, the Game of Thrones studio tour in Banbridge that has recently opened. And those are all iconic attractions. But I think it'd be fair to say that throughout the island of Ireland, and throughout COVID, significant investment in visitor experiences, new visitor experiences, upgrading existing ones, and the same applied to some of the accommodation sectors as well. And that was made possible by, you know, a very strong commitment from government to continue to invest in the product. Again, a recognition of the importance of tourism to the island of Ireland. And now as we head towards St. Patrick's Day, which is, you know, typically the start of the tourism season, again, this is going to be a great time to visit, and the usual exciting program of activity, the St. Patrick's Festival in Dublin, which runs really for about 5 days, will be there, as well as many festivals around the country, you know, in Armagh and Downpatrick and Cork and others. And all these great programs are being finalized. And visitors love to engage and be part of festivals because it's a great way to experience local culture.
And it has been so successful. You know, when we take a look at the Wild Atlantic Way, Ireland's ancient east, very specific routes that are made not just as a guide, but actually along the way. Tourism Ireland has done an amazing job in making those trips, for instance, the coastal route in the west of Ireland, to make it not only, you know, more interesting, but also to provide accommodation and you know, all the areas of making that trip very well worthwhile. Whereas in the past it was kind of considered to be somewhat of a wilderness out there and more of the same. But that has definitely grown to be a tremendous attraction, and I think especially for North America, for those who really didn't do that before, you know, I think that's a tremendous feature as well.
Absolutely, and I think what the regional brand experiences like the White Atlantic Way and Ireland's Ancient East and Northern Ireland and Dublin and the Hidden Heartlands, what we've tried to do, Vulture Ireland, the National Development Agency in the Republic of Ireland, and Tourism Northern Ireland up north, they've done a really incredible job in working with industry on the ground to create new experiences and cluster those experiences, so to give visitors reasons to linger longer and stay in different parts of the country. So there's more to do and see. And then Tourism Ireland, we have, our role is then taking those experiences and telling those stories and marketing those around the world. And obviously we're doing that here in the United States. So there's a lot of continued investment. And I think the Wild Atlantic Way, when Americans typically think of Ireland, and particularly if they haven't visited before, they may have been influenced by movies and other things over many years. They typically think of that wild, rugged West Coast iconic scenery. And the Wild Atlantic Way obviously, you know, straddles 1,600 miles all the way up from up to Donegal, from Kinsale in the southwest there. And interestingly, as we head into 2023 and beyond now, additional investment has been made available to connect the Wild Atlantic Way with the Causeway coastal route in Northern Ireland, so connecting that through the walled city of Derry. So it's one continuous coastal route. So that's a very exciting development. I mean, visitors have been doing that, but again, giving it some cohesiveness and really making sure that it's a seamless experience as people travel around up the Wild Atlantic Way towards Northern Ireland. They connect through the walled city of Derry and then onto the Causeway coastal route, where you have, you know, iconic locations like the Giant's Causeway, like the Carrickreed Rope Bridge, like some of the best links golf in the world, World Portrush, and other courses.
Ireland.com is a Tourism Ireland's website, and many times I say that if you want to learn about Ireland, and if there isn't a notion in your head of going to Ireland, maybe if you log on to Tourism Ireland, just see, what Ireland has to offer, and it's just incredible. It's a great website, constantly being updated. And again, Ireland.com, you press the green button, and then make sure you have some time, you know, to learn all about Ireland and why it is miles ahead of any destination in Europe, particularly for North Americans. Alison, good luck. It's a new year, and again, starting off with 80% from last year of the 2019 level. Wow, I think it's great, and we can expect even a higher number for this year.
I certainly hope so, and I'd just like to just remind everybody that the flights are back. We have 15 services from 15 gateways this year, so getting to Ireland is going to be very easy. The new service coming in from Aer Lingus from Cleveland, Ohio to Dublin. And for anybody wanting to head straight to the Wild Atlantic Way, Shannon services are back from New York, Boston, and Chicago for this year.
It's terrific and great news. Alison, again, off to a new year and a happy new year, not just to you, but for so many, people in the organization whose main goal is to offer that big Fáilte, the big welcome to Ireland. Again, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Adrian. Appreciate it.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USAIrishRadio.com, worldwide, Ireland.com.